Yeah, okay, well, let's talk about it. Ready? Let's hit it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's September 17th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation audio publication, episode 131.
This is No Agenda.
Coming to you from the Gitmo Nation East Crackpot Command Center, located in the 17th Century Canal House in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, which, of course, ain't all that great. Kanye West has a much better canal house. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Foggy Bottom, Northern Silicon Valley, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
Yay. Timing is everything.
Yeah, that's a good theme.
Sweet.
We should just do a whole show of startups.
With different intros or just the same one over and over again?
Well, we could do that. That would be a little dull.
For those of you who don't exactly know what this is, if you're brand new to No Agenda, this is a program where we have one very simple theme. Here's what it's about.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And, John, what do we say?
It's a good formula.
It's a good formula. It is. It's a simple one. You don't need a lot of complexity.
I like that. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, since I've been traveling, and I'll be traveling back to Gitmo Nation West tomorrow, you pulled an extra bunch of clips. Like twice the normal allotment, I would have to say. But then,
we could just start the clips now, and the show would be over.
But I do have even some of your clips tie into some very interesting news that I've been tracking in the crackpot circles coming into the command center. Man, there's a lot going on, which of course is not being reported on at all. But it's going on. Where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, here, since you left, you know, all hell's broken loose because those two young filmographers slash journalists.
Don't tell me, another Acorn video?
Four more.
Didn't we predict it? I mean, it wasn't that hard of a prediction, but yeah.
Oh, but the best one, and of course, here's the thing. The mainstream media now has completely decided. They don't know what to do, and I want to explain to the public out there what's actually going on behind the scenes, in my opinion. And apparently on Tuesday, I guess, Charlie Gibson.
ABC World News Tonight.
They asked him about this. Some press guy asked him. He says he didn't know anything about it.
He didn't know anything about it?
Oh, he's never heard of it.
He's so full of shit. Oh, that's horrible.
He's a jackass.
He said that he didn't know anything about it. He was stunned.
My God, there's gambling going on there?
So don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
That's for Charlie.
So the funny one is that, well, he's probably, you know, I don't know.
Mind control. Yes.
But anyway, the funny thing is that the San Diego office has some of the best stuff because there are two things happened there. One of the guys said that he's Hispanic. He says, well, you know, if you want to bring these girls in, my advice to you is you get them into Tijuana and I have friends and we can get them in here.
No. Oh, this is great. So it's a total of, what, seven offices now of Acorn they've gone into with the same hooker story.
Yeah, I think it's five. But then the other thing that was funny is that apparently also in the San Diego office, one of the people propositioned the girl.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's great. So, of course, the real story here, or what's turning out to be the real story, is that mainstream, quote, mainstream news is not reporting on it.
Play Jon Stewart.
Oh, hold on a second. You have so many clips. Here we go.
Where were the real reporters on this story? You know what, investigative media? Meet me at camera three. Where the hell were you? You know who broke this story? These two. You're telling me that two kids from the cast of High School Musical 3 can break this story with a video camera and their grandmother's chinchilla coat, and you got nothing? I'm a fake journalist, and I'm embarrassed these guys scooped me.
Although, you know, John, so there's two stories going on. This story, the Acorn story, I believe is totally meant to enthrall the Fox News viewers and to keep their minds off of anything else that is happening. And Lord knows there is a lot going on. Because this is, of course, how media. I mean, what is these?
What's interesting to contrast it, though, because the mainstream media's idea of what to do to keep people from paying attention to anything else is to do the Kanye West story.
Yes, exactly.
So you have so it's like a battle of the bands. Is one saying, we can keep our people befuddled with this acorn thing. Oh, yeah. Well, we can watch the Kanye West thing.
Watch this. And let me tell you, Kanye West, who is clearly, if you saw him on Jay Leno, clearly a Project Ultra mind control freak. And he's clearly doped up, or they've got a chip embedded in his head or whatever. They made this poor guy do this. There's no doubt about it. Because what's been happening in the meantime, John, do you realize what a horrible week it's been in international finance? Do you realize how dangerous this profession has become?
Oh, we have more deaths in the family?
Well, I've counted them. It started September 7th with Danny Pang. I think we even mentioned him on our show around that date.
Well, he was the Madoff of Taiwan, right? That guy?
Right. Well, he has Israeli connections. 42, by the way. Died at a hospital. Let's see. He was accused of a Ponzi scheme. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if it was a suicide or not, but of course, you know, he had a lot of legal problems, so it probably was a suicide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Then we move over to...
Anytime anyone has legal problems, that's what they do.
Suicide, yeah. Then we move over to the Chicago connection, where we have Blagojevich's guy, Christopher Kelly, who overdosed on aspirin.
Love that.
He's 51. Then we have the money man on the East Coast, Finn Kasperson, who suicided himself in Rhode Island. He is ex-CEO of Beneficial Corp, which is that an insurance company? I think not.
Beneficial?
Yeah.
Finance. Beneficial Finance, I think.
Right. So, oops, he killed himself. And then, of course, the coup d'etat, James McDonald, who is the CEO of the Rockefeller Corporation, he killed himself on Sunday. So within a span of 2 weeks, we have all these huge financial guys killing themselves, which leads me to believe that... the war is now full on. This is because, of course, these guys, if you ask me, and I'm not going to talk about this too much because I really like my life. I believe these guys are all involved in financing CIA, financing their a lot of their covert operations. In fact, gosh, there was a fantastic article, which, of course, was also, and this is all the stuff that neither the quote mainstream, but also Fox News doesn't really want you to hear. Italy's former president, Francesco Cossiga. Here's a little quote from Italy's oldest and most widely read newspaper from just this past week. All of the intelligence services of America and Europe know very well that the disastrous attacks on 9/11 had been planned and realized from the Mossad with the aid of the Zionist world order to put under accusation the Arabic countries and in order to induce the Western powers to take part in Iraq and Afghanistan. This guy just comes out and says it in the newspaper. He says it was a false flag attack. So there's all this stuff going on, and you and I have kind of agreed that the Obama administration, or maybe just Obama himself, I don't know, and the CIA somehow
are at war.
This
is your theory, yeah.
Yeah, but you said it, yes, my theory, but you certainly didn't refute it. You said there's something
to it. Well, I don't know.
It.
I mean, but I
no,
mean...
I don't know either.
Obama could be hip deep in all this.
I don't know either. But I will say that in November, I've already scheduled it. I'm going to go visit Uncle Don. And I'm just going to ask him flat out.
For the purposes of getting me a drinking trip to North Korea? is that the reason you're going?
I'll also ask him, hey, Uncle Don, is the CIA at war with the president? Could you just like lay it on me? I'm not going to tell you which day I'm going to go because I'd like him to be alive by the time I get there.
I think his I think I'd be more aware. I would make it a sneak trip.
Yeah. I mean, but there is stuff going on. You know, Obama is now really nuzzling up to the Russians all of a sudden. You know, now it's like, oh, we're not going to do that anti-missile shield in Poland. And then there was this huge Russian lawsuit for like $22 billion against, how was it? It was against the New York Mellon. Oh, all of a sudden that's been settled. It went from $22 billion to $14 million. So it's like now they're all buddy-buddy. And I think it has something to do with that visit that Netanyahu made to Medvedev the other day, the secret visit that, of course, leaked out, and now he copped to it. What I believe is that Israel is truly planning an attack on Iran, and the good guys, I would have to say Obama is a part of the good guys in the way, I can't believe I'm saying it, but.
I can't either.
I think that there's this Israeli, or some would say Zionist, you know, as the Italy's ex-president says, Zionist connection with the CIA, and there's bad shit coming down, dude.
There's always been a connection between the Mossad and the CIA. I mean, it's not like a big shocker.
No, but, you know, we have this attempt, or I assert it was an attempt.
And the possibility does exist that, you know, and I don't think this is a big shocker, that Israel has a bunch its sights on Iran because they're sick of listening to these maniacs, and they get the sneaking suspicion they keep wanting to bomb Tel Aviv, which would be a bad thing.
Yeah, well,
for the whole region, by the way, it would poison the whole region,
yeah,
including the air. So the whole idea doesn't really make any sense unless you're a complete fool, which is a possibility, and you don't know that, you know, the radiation would be falling all over Mecca.
But it's okay. But I somehow get this feeling like there's this global takeover. You know, of course that's just me, right? But there's just something really stinky going on, and it's not being reported on. And instead of that, we've got Kanye frickin' West, and we've got, you know, the Acorn stuff. The fact that the other news outlets are not reporting on it means that it's somewhere, it's controlled from above. I mean, this,
yeah,
this,
that sounds good in practice, but I think there's a different, I think there's a real, actually a practical reason, is that the mainstream news media, first of all, got caught flat-footed. They released these things on Friday, and then there was a weekend where everybody, and you have to remember New York, where the media is centered, takes off at noon on Friday.
Oh, but John, hold on a second. These videos have been out there for 10 days now since the first one.
It really hit hard on Friday. Last Friday.
Does no one at CBS or NBC or ABC, doesn't Olbermann watch Fox just to complain about whatever O'Reilly said? Don't these guys watch that? I mean, they certainly picked up on Van Jones when Glenn Beck started hitting that video of him from YouTube. They picked up on that. They didn't pick up on these other ones. Come on.
Well, you have a point. I mean, it just surprises me that Olbermann and Maddow haven't at least acknowledged the fact that this is going on. It has been a week, at least. You claim 10 days. I don't have the timeline, unfortunately. And now it's like you look like an idiot if you do anything. I mean, you're putting yourself in a situation where you're essentially what's happened is they put their hands over their ears and they're going, no, I can't hear, I can't hear.
Oh, no, wait. And then, of course, there's the always handy when shit's really coming down and financiers are suiciding themselves. Oh, here's a message from Bin Laden.
Right,
an audio tape. And I looked at all the news reports, and I have all of the links in the show notes at noagendashow.com. There's never a link to a website or how did they get this, you know, an audio. What like a freaking cassette tape shows up? I mean,
apparently. When is it going to be on an iPod, Bin Laden? Get your act together.
Yeah, really. Get yourself an iRiver, dude. It's like, how lame is that? It's like, how can we seriously believe that is? Why not get a flip video player at least? You know.
So Mimi pointed out that Bin Laden. Do you know about Bin Laden's reading list? This got some ink.
No, I didn't know. They found this reading list, but not his cave.
No, a reading list recommended reading for the American public.
Oh, is this in his message?
Yeah, oh, yes. One of the books is Confessions of an Economic... Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You stepped on my line.
I'm sorry. But that's really true? That was one of the books?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Here's the problem. I doubt seriously that Bin Laden's out there reading that much. and that particular book, I just can't see him sitting down and reading it.
That is a joke. That is a CIA joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah. They're like, hey, dude, let's put
a CIA joke. It sounds like some CIA. If I was in the CIA, I would do that gag because it's just hilarious.
What else was on the list? This is interesting. We should put this into an Amazon store.
Man, we got to get that's right. I should do the Amazon store. We'd have Bin Laden's reading list.
Here it is. I've got it. Okay. One, the Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Stephen M. Walt. Two, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. Jimmy Carter. Interesting.
I'm sure Carter should be pleased as punch. It's another CIA joke.
Yeah, exactly. It is another, like, hey, dude, let's do this one too. That'll be funny. And then there's the Apology of a Hired Killer, and according to this article in the Times, while there seems to be no book of that title and description, at least one analyst suggested that could be Mr. Bin Laden could have meant Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
So he
didn't really name it by title.
Well, you know what? It could also be, you know, that when these books go into foreign distribution, they often change the title.
They change the title.
And
yeah,
the New York
possible.
Times obviously didn't do enough research to see if that was it.
They don't have Google.
But that sounds logical.
That is funny that they put... That they mess with Carter and they put the Confessions of an Economic Hitman on the list. But again, you know, I'm looking at, as our colleague, this is New York Times, as our colleague Mark McDonald reported on Sunday, Mr. Bin Laden apparently released a new audio tape. How come I can't hear this audio tape? The guy's reading books in English, but it's all in Arabic as audio tape? Is that the deal?
No, I'm sure these books have all been translated to Arabic.
The recording was reported and translated by the Site Intelligence Group and Intel Center. What's Site? S-I-T-E. Hold on.
You know, do you think the New York Times would link to something?
No, they're linking to this. Site Intelligence Group. What is this about Site? What is this thing? This is crazy.
This is probably another program getting $18 million for the website.
Rita Katz, the director and co-founder of the Site Intelligence Group, has studied, tracked, and analyzed international terrorists, the global jihadist network, and terrorism financing for more than a decade. Since well before... This is... Can I just say, this is bogus. This is so bogus. It's a bunch of spooks who put together a blog. They got... What's their latest video? Ooh, warning. The following contains extremely graphic footage. Viewer discretion is advised. It's siteintelgroup.com.
Shocking and gruesome images circulate each day on the internet in a well-coordinated propaganda war against the United States and its allies. These sensationalized attacks are revered within the global...
So they've got video of so-called terrorists shooting people in the head, but they can't put up the audio of Bin Laden. And they translated it. Why is that, like, secret?
What's the website name again?
Hold on, I'll send you the link on Skype-a-Rooney.
I guess.
And this is what the New York Times is doing their reporting with. This multimedia. Hold on, terrorism library. Oh, this is mint. This is really good. Featured video.
Site, okay, if anybody out there is listening, is Site Intel Group.
Yeah, what's their
S-I-T-E-I-N-T-E-L group.com. It's not even .org. You think it'd be .org, don't you?
No, man, because it's a commercial enterprise. But I don't understand, why do they not have the audio of Bin Laden on their site?
So independent translators could listen to it.
Bogus. Training manuals. Cool. Terrorism using RC toy. This is like a terrorist site where you go learn. I'm telling you, using remote-controlled toy vehicle parts for bombings. Two sets of instructions, one a diagram and the other a video to use mechanisms from inside a remote-controlled toy vehicle for remote detonations were distributed together on jihadist forums on July 25th, 2009. No link to the jihadist forums.
They show you the plans?
Yeah.
No.
Well, hold on. Oh, log in. Tasca, I need to register. Yeah, I think not. Not jihadist chatter. Oh, I love these. This site is amazing. Oh, jihadist chatter.
I like the use of Ajax. If you go to look in browse region and you click on a country, it zooms in.
Ooh, hold on. This is, oh my God. So this is what New York Times, ooh, whoa, it did zoom in, didn't it? Yeah, Yemen. There's chatter in Yemen, y'all. Bogus. It's just, that is just so bogus. All right. Anyway, so
hey, here's one for you. Here, wait, there's two interesting regions. Do you know? And I'm going to ask you, where do you think, where is, whoops, it just backed up. Oh.
There's something about the two of us surfing and everyone listening to it that is so incredibly wrong. It just,
where do you think, here's a place called Ghor, G-H-O-R. I guess it's in Afghanistan.
Mm. But needless to say, no links, no audio. It's just bogus. Okay.
Yeah, no, something. And it's also, it's not like slick in the slickest way that it could be.
No.
But it's a little too slick for what it's supposed to be, if you know what I mean. It's in that kind of no man's land of slickness.
We should, you know, you have Oprah's book club. This should be Osama's book club.
Osama's book.
You know, it would actually be cool if, like, every month he recommended a couple of books. You know, it's like he could set up his little Amazon link and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Oh my goodness! Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not buying it.
You think that?
Well, yeah. So it's the CIA is behind all of this. It's crap. No,
I think Taylor Swift's dad is behind all.
Oh no, no, no! He's all a part of it. It's all a setup. So you know, Taylor Swift's dad, who is a huge financier, by the way, no two to the head for him yet. You know, so first of all, he gets his kid to win the award, and we all know.
Oh, by the way,
that Kanye is right. Beyonce's video was better. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but the whole thing looked rigged. Now, including that publicity stunt, got, you know, Kanye a lot of publicity, and also the Obama commentary. Why don't you play the Obama commentary, the whole thing?
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me go to my. Now this was a CNBC interview, I believe, and this
I think it was bunch of press were in the Oval Office or someplace, and he's shooting the shit, you know, being too casual with these people, and they recorded it.
This is the chat.
It's like the crocodile and the frog.
That was really inappropriate. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like she's getting an award. What are you butting in? I hear you. I agree with you.
Does that count as the first question?
The young lady seems like a perfectly nice person. She's getting her award.
And by the way, her dad gave me a lot of money for my campaign.
What's he doing?
Why would
up
he
there?
Do that?
He's a jackass. No. This, all this stuff.
That's what Pink said.
I'm assuming all this stuff. Where's the pool?
He says, "Where's the pool?" Did you hear that?
Yeah.
So that means that he's talking about the pool recording?
Yeah.
Because there's only one recorder that's running at that moment. But I think that this was someone's independent recording. I'm sorry, what?
I think it may be an independent recording.
Yeah. And I think it was on CNBC's website, and they pulled it off since then. That's what I heard, at least.
Cut the president some slack. I got a lot of other stuff on my plate.
All right, Patty, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember last time there was the fly thing. That was the highlight of...
Now, that worked out well for you.
That was...
You were a ninja.
Except PETA.
And Reggie has the fly to release in about 7 minutes.
Yeah. You got the chopsticks this time?
So how come whenever he's interviewed, why isn't he like that? Whenever he's on a real interview, why isn't he like that? Why doesn't he just act like he is?
Because they burn him. And here's the deal. I still wonder, why is he watching the TV show? Doesn't he have other things to do with his time than watch a I mean, it's not like an important thing to watch. Does he also watch Big Brother?
And Leno. Of course. Of course he did. He has to have his finger on the pulse of the nation.
This is a waste of the president's time.
He had to watch because he had to see if the whole trick was pulled off or not. Like they needed something to cover up all of the suicides. And this was programmed. Jay-Z, who, by the way, has nothing but New World Order Illuminati signs all over his albums and videos. You know, when you hold up your hands like that in the Illuminati symbol. Have you seen that?
No.
It's like if you hold your hand up and your index fingers and your thumbs touch each other. It's like total, like, Freemason, Illuminati type stuff. So, you know, he's in on it. And duh. I mean, he's only one of the most successful producers of our time. And they've got poor Kanye injected with something so that he's dumb and does whatever they tell him to do. And then they've got Taylor Swift's dad who says, honey, now go out there. And if anything happens, don't say anything. Just wait for them to cut to something else. And then you know they flip the switch on Kanye. He goes out there and he says something stupid, which, by the way, who cares? You know, who cares?
Well, you know, by the way, I was looking up for the clips of him doing this, and I ran to a listing of on YouTube of all the different clips where Taylor Swift has won some award or other. She, and I hope one of our producers has the time to do this, document the number of awards, citations, keys to the city, and other crazy things that this woman
Taylor Swift
won.
Gets, yeah.
There's dozens and dozens and dozens of them from every sort of weird operation you've never heard of. Oh, it was a performer of the decade, greatest upcoming star, this, that, and the other thing. It's astonishing how many awards this girl has won.
Yeah, but she's awesome.
Okay. She's awesome.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Don't you mess with Taylor.
I got to pick up that old clip with the
She's so awesome. Hey, you know, I just wanted to mention something. I'm here in Gitmo Nation East. I'm reading the Telegraph, which is the toilet paper of the daily toilet paper here in the Netherlands. And there's this huge ad from the Bond van Adverteerders, which is the advertising association who exists 90 years this year. On October 1st, you can spend 450 euros, which I think is about $8,000. And you can witness a speech. And here's his picture. And I'm talking like a quarter page with above his head, "Yes, we can," David Plouffe, the strategist behind the successful and innovative campaign for Barack Obama, will be giving a speech for 450 euros. You can witness it. It's really weird, John. It's eerie. This guy's on the speaking circuit.
Wow.
David Plouffe. Isn't he still a part of the campaign?
I thought he was, but maybe not. I thought he was still in the Oval Office and giving advice. Well, I wonder how many people are, what size auditorium they're going to use, and we should do a calculation on what he's going to make.
It's the RAC Hall in the Hague. I don't know how big that is. Oh, we could sponsor a table, John, for 9,000 euros. We could buy a table.
That's like $1 million.
Yeah, but you get 9 people to sit. But this is an advertising conference. It's creepy. I'll bring it with me. It's creepy.
Yeah, it sounds creepy. Yeah, bring it with you. We can just scan it in.
So anyway, you know, so obviously I'm going off a little bit on a tangent about the Obama-CIA war, but we do agree on one thing, that it is very clear that the media does not want you to hear anything but Kanye West and Acorn hooker videos. That's all they got going for him. And where's Olbermann?
Olbermann's a lost cause.
He can't like do. I know he's not doing Kanye, is he? He's got to have something going for him. He's got to have something happening.
I was watching it the other day, and there was nothing. He had nothing. He wasn't funny. He had, you know, his worst person of the year was, or of the day, or whatever it was, none of it was interesting. It was just mild slams. He just, you know, bringing, you know, the Glenn Beck phenomenon, by the way, I want to discuss for a second. This guy was a beyond an also ran radio talk show host, running in the midday on one of the networks. And he wasn't
and by
even
the way, middays, you don't want to be there because that's real, there's no money to be made in midday in radio.
Right. And he, and he was, you know, but more of a comic than he was anything. He was very funny. He did a lot of voices and impressions, and you know, he did a, he does a lot of dialects, and he was.
Well, he's still funny. It's still funny when he does his crying stuff. It's still funny to watch. You know?
Well, if you heard him on the radio, it's even funnier because you realize what an act it is. But anyway, he went from that. And he never showed any to me when I listened to him. I couldn't really listen to him for long. I mean, he wasn't like riveting. He wasn't like an intellectual. His material was only, it was very shallow, and often it was just knee jerk George Bush's great stuff, which is, it gets on anybody's nerves. And so then all of a sudden they move him into Fox. Actually, I think he started at MSNBC and they moved him to Fox from there, something like that. And,
sorry.
If I'm not mistaken, that was the timeline. And then, and he wasn't much. He didn't.
Well, he was on CNN, and then he went to Fox.
Oh, CNN, that's right. CNN, and he didn't blow the doors off the place. And so they move him to Fox, and they get him. And he obviously has writers now.
Oh, good duh. Ones.
Yeah,
and good so, in one. Fact, sometimes when he goes to that blackboard and he's talking, you can read along on the prompter on the camera on the right hand side. You can actually read along with him.
Oh, that's well. They, yeah, he goes to that blackboard and starts. Yeah,
and by the way, if he ever starts complaining about the president reading teleprompter, we have to call him a hypocrite.
Yeah, good point. So anyway, he's a prompter boy. So now all of a sudden he's getting there's a focus of attention on him, and not only by the mainstream media, they keep bringing his name up all the time, Glenn Beck, and also Fox itself is like pushing. It's almost as though if anybody's going to
He's going to get shot. Yeah. Oh, no. I was just about to say that would be the ultimate. When something really, really bad, when Glenn Beck goes down, and I God hope it doesn't happen, of course. That's horrible. But if something happens
We'd rather be entertained by his
please,
life. Yeah,
please. What are we going to do for entertainment? Then you know that Israel has their planes in the air and they're nearing Tehran. Then you'll really know that it's happening. In the chat room, by the way, at noagendachat.com, they're saying that here's CNN. CNN has the grad student who's been arrested in Yale student killing.
Oh yeah, that's another kind of the CNN get your attention story.
Right.
Yeah, it was a lover's quarrel of some sort, and this girl was going to marry somebody else, and this guy got pissed and killed her.
So I'm just
a story.
Yeah, I'm just looking. Yeah, really. But it has love in it, and sex, and intrigue. So I'm looking at latest news from CNN. Obama announces new missile defense plan, which is he's pulling it out. He's pulling it out of Poland.
That's the new plan.
Yeah, that's the new plan.
Makes it sound like he's going to put missiles somewhere.
About halfway down, is Glenn Beck bad for America?
There we go.
Time.
Yeah, no, they're targeting him. I mean, there's no reason for all these articles about Glenn Beck. He hasn't done anything that interesting. I mean, why? And Olbermann, you know, is constantly talking about Glenn Beck like they should get a room, and it's you know, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. That how much attention, out of the blue, by the way, this only is over the last year. Nobody knew who Glenn Beck was 2 years ago.
Right, because there's real stuff happening, John. It has to be covered up. When will people realize that? And, of course, there is actual reporting going on from time to time. It's just it doesn't catch the people who control the media, who run it all, like GE runs NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, and then, of course, there's Fox, and I think it's all, you know, these guys all, they all drink together. They all got the same agenda. It's like, we got to get people talking about something, but it can't be the real news. In fact, let's do one ourselves. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean to do that one. That was the wrong one.
That's good enough.
And now, back to real news.
Yes, John.
I like how.
Yeah?
Well, I'm going to beat you this one. You're missing out on the big news in the UK.
No, I haven't. I bet it's the same one.
They're going to ban
stiletto
heels.
Yes, we have the same story.
Now, here's the one that gets me about this.
Yeah, high heels, stilettos being banned.
Yeah, well, all high heels actually. And the news media just pointed out stilettos because they think think it's funny. But here's the thing. Somebody was quoted as saying the following, and they won't say who it is. Maybe they did in some story. I couldn't find it. But it was a union representative saying that shoes are demeaning or are demeaning symbolic of the sexual subjugation of women
and their
health to satisfy male whims and fantasies.
Yeah.
I want to take issue with this. Mainly because, you know, over the years, one of the things I always like to do, and if anyone listens to the Tech 5, a little 5-minute news rundown I do every day, they'll know that I'm always doing this, which is finding, you know, contradictory headlines about the same subject. And I'm always reminded of the way the stock market's dealt with. You know, if let's say General Motors came out with a neutral report and the stock market went up 100 points, you will see headlines that stock market goes up 100 points based on General Motors' neutral report. Or stock market goes up 100 points despite General Motors' neutral report. So you have these two angles. You could just as easily, with this high heel story, take the opposite approach and say they should be banned because they're symbolic of sexual teasing and sexual harassment of males by, you know, and go on in that direction.
Yeah.
It makes just as much sense because, let's face it, nobody is in the workroom is saying, wow, look at that girl in her high heels. Let me go fuck her.
But
they're not doing that.
Whoa. John, first of all, I would not allow you to publish that headline except to punch you in the mouth because we want to keep stilettos in high heels. We think it's a fine, fine development.
I'm just saying that anybody who takes a tact in terms of what is behind it sociologically, you can take the opposite tact and have just as much logic as you did with the other tact.
So this was the trade union, and this was apparently said at the Trade Union Congress. But you're right, no attribution. But it is isn't it a Reuters story? I'm reading it from a Reuters.
Yeah, I got it from Reuters too.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe that Reuters is an inside job, and because somebody at Reuters is annoyed with high heels. We had somebody over at Mevio the other day trying to wear high heels. She almost killed herself.
Who was that?
I'm not going to say.
Cooper? Who was it?
No.
Come on, man! Now you got to tell me.
No.
You're killing me now. Was it a guy? Was it a guy?
Yeah, it was a guy. That's it. That's why I can't say.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I like that we both had the same real news story. That's really good. And so while we're on Reuters, just to back up what I'm saying here, released on Wednesday, September 16th, Reuters: Israel will be compelled to attack Iran's nuclear sites if Western powers cannot agree crippling sanctions against Tehran by the end of the year, a former Israeli deputy defense minister said on Wednesday. You know, I would say that's kind of a little more important than Kanye West, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That should be like all over the place. Yeah. What?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. But, this is interesting. It will be they're going to use a bloodless strategy. Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, Snake
said they're going to gas everybody and they'll all be dead, but there won't be any bleeding.
and meanwhile, and this is the thing that tripped me out. We have the August report of, let me just get it. I didn't even know this thing was released to the general public. Turn down your Mickey. We have, it's called the National Intelligence Strategy of the United States of America for August 2009. And I'm reading it. This is published by Dennis C. Blair, Director of National Intelligence. And so right here, the strategic environment, page, what is this? Well, it's essentially, after all the preamble, it's the first page, even though it's page 7. A number of nation states have the ability to challenge U.S. interests in traditional and emerging ways. Traditional being military force and espionage, and emerging being cyber operations. So this is basically your axis of evil. And we have Iran, of course, posed an array of challenges to U.S. security. We have North Korea, continues to threaten peace and security in East Asia. We have China, and we have Russia now added to the list.
Huh.
Russia is a U.S. partner in important initiatives such as securing fissile material and combating nuclear terrorism, but it may continue to seek avenues for reasserting power and influence in ways that complicate U.S. interests. But this is the axis of evil list, and it seems like Russia, who now Obama is completely sucking up to, it seems like Russia is now on the list.
Yeah, you know, I'm always suspicious about anything we do with Russia, mainly because I always get this. No. No, I'm not.
No, okay.
And it's because I always get the sneaking suspicion that there's all these behind-the-scenes deals going on where they say, you know, if you guys, look, why don't you just make us look like the bad guy for a minute because we want to do this over here, and then what's going to happen, and you're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we'll right. do this. And so it's like, you know, the whole thing is a giant scam.
Well, this is – so you actually helped me with my point. This is exactly what I'm saying is happening. This is why, despite this August report – of course, we're into September – President Obama is now pulling the whole plan for the missiles in Poland. Russia then settles this $22 billion lawsuit with American Mellon Bank for $14 million. Oops, we're kind of done there. But all of this stuff is happening right after Netanyahu, who, by the way, is kind of a frightening guy. He's been involved in some weird shit, and his dad was like some super military commander, and I don't know if it was his brother. Remember, there was some politician they tried to kill with an injection to the neck. He was involved in that. I mean, Netanyahu has got a colored past.
Yeah, no, he's one of those guys you want
to stay away from.
He dislikes you, and he takes a potato peeler out and gouges out an eye. He's just kind of think. Which would you think?
I thought that was Rahm Emanuel who did that.
That could be too.
Really, I'm mistaken. Let's do another one of your clips, John, because we're so loaded on him.
Oh, let's see here. Let me go back to the list. I actually closed it.
We received a lot of mail since our last program about Bill Maher. And,
yeah, hold on a second.
And I'll just say that I took offense to some of the things he was doing and saying. And you went back and watched the most recent program. Of course, the next one will be this coming Friday. And the thing that I took most offense to is I feel that he says, I just don't agree with the general comment, which seems to be a meme now, which is if you don't agree with Obama, you're a racist.
Yeah, which is another distraction, another what don't you know what?
Yeah, and of course,
right. Let's see, the topper for that, by the way, and you can play the clip is Jimmy Carter. You might as well play that one. Looking at
I was just going to say because that was the most recent news about this that was released.
I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity toward President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man. And I think it's bubbled up to the surface because of a belief among many white people, not just in the South but around the country, that African Americans are not qualified to lead this great country.
So that just blows me away.
I mean, this is a guy who's, from what I can tell, he's projecting. Nobody is thinking along these lines. This is bull. I mean, yeah, there's always a few racists out there, but it's not like everybody is.
Well, in fact,
which is what he's implying.
In fact, this there's this amateur footage. Some kid who kind of dressed up like a reporter, which is kind of cute, took his camera out to the Washington D.C. tea bagger party.
Yeah.
Which also, of course, wasn't covered by anyone but Fox News. And I'm just going to play like the 15 or 20 seconds. Just listen to the crowds and what they're chanting. And by the way, it's not we hate the black man in the White House. That's not what it is. Just listen to what it's not even about Obama's health care.
USA.
Their abortion.
But if we do not repent, will we not be judged? Have we already not been warned? 9/11 was our warning. Repent.
9/11.
Turn back to God.
Right.
35% of the abortions are had by black American women.
Yes, they are.
They only make
so actually pro black.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah,
hold
I saw
on,
that.
Hold on, one more. Freedom. We want freedom. Now, it's nothing about that. It's crap. It's just horse crap.
Yeah, no, the one that was bad, and in that same clip, which you can see on the blog at Dvorak.org/blog, by the way, is the woman who was grilled about, there's a bunch of signs that were printed up in Obama style saying, bury Obamacare with Kennedy.
Yeah, I saw that.
And someone was asked about it. What do you think the family thinks about that? And the woman lashed, I guess they probably wouldn't think much of it. But anyway, Mara went on with this thing about, this racism thing. And then he managed to do a couple of things that I thought were just abhorrent. One, he took Drudge apparently had a series of headlines that were puns that had if you were looking for it, you'd find a racial overtone. And but they were meant to be, I think, I don't know if they weren't funny because Drudge isn't a funny guy, but they're, nobody.
In fact, what was the first one he showed? Because he showed the first one. And
I got him all here. You can find it. It's Obama's negs go up.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
And so Mara reads negs as Negro.
Is this Drudge clip? Should I play that one?
Yeah, I played the Drudge clips. Let me set it up. The thing that's interesting, you can say, well, this is just terrible that people are doing this. This is so terrible. And then you laugh at it because you actually think it's hilarious. And the audience goes nuts with these jokes.
Yeah, because the audience
apparently is a bunch of
racist.
Hypocrites. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. We're going to get to that. Yeah. But I just want to show you what I mean by subliminally racist. This show
So he's claiming the Drudge is subliminally racist and doing it on purpose.
Picture from this is from the Drudge Report. Okay, we're not making this up.
That's for real.
Whole hell, Obama negs rise. That's negatives, short for negatives. But you know what? I just think for a certain number of people, when they see negs rise. Mm-hmm.
John, when you saw that, what did you think? Because I saw this and I was like, it took me 15 seconds. Before I think it wasn't until he said it that I actually got it. Did you get it immediately?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Now look at some of the other ones we found. Obama meets old white. Come on.
What was that one?
That was this is when he won the election. Says Obama beats old white man.
Right. That actually I thought was pretty funny.
This is him with Joe Biden's mother. Obama embraces Joe Mama. I think.
Yeah, that was like that. Now he was getting down low.
That, and this is Michelle. Oh. Look at that.
And that was Hoe in the Garden.
Hoe in the Garden, and that got the biggest laugh in the store.
No.
We had a clapping. How is this? Oh, this is pointing out how racist. This is sounds like the most racist audience of them all. And then he produces, and you find the next clip for this is Maher's Obama entrance. Mm-hmm. Maher, joking about the racism, produces this clip. They produced it in-house, and it's you can play it.
Obama. But then, the other day, Wednesday, I was watching his speech before the joint session of Congress, and I noticed something about his entrance. Play the tape. I see what they're talking about now.
Madam Speaker, the President of the United States.
Which, by the way, was stolen from our joke. John?
Yeah?
We already made this joke, like he should do his entrance like a boxer.
Yeah, which is what they did. And
that was our joke. We're racist.
Well, if anybody's a racist, it's Maher to produce this stuff. He's also an incredible. What bugs me about him more than anything else is he's an unbelievable ageist.
Yeah, he does a lot of that too. Yeah,
he does a lot of ageist jokes. The old man, he's old. He's old. He did the thing on that show. He did a thing with going on 60 Minutes with seniors. But the interesting thing is, he gives himself away as to how much of an ageist he is and how much he really hates. He must hate his mom or something. How much he hates old people. Because I got a lot of clips here, but I'll play this one, which is, I think, the one that's most indicative. He goes after Sarah Palin, and I'm going to deconstruct it after you play it.
Okay, yeah, I know this one.
He said, you lie. I'm not going to kill old people. The next day, Sarah Palin on her Facebook page said, you know what? She still believes in death panels. You know what, Sarah, honey? If we were going to get rid of useless people, you would be the first to know.
So what he's done there is he's equated old people in the death panels with useless people.
Oh, that's the real very connection. Good.
If you deconstruct
right.
that, if you deconstruct what he just did, he is saying essentially he doesn't even know he's saying it, but it's in his brain that old people are useless.
Yeah.
And I think this guy is the scum of the earth. We got a bunch of letters from people defending him and how funny he is. And I have found him to be a deplorable, mean-spirited, creepy person that I really don't. That's why I didn't want to watch the show to get these clips, because I can watch any one of these shows and find this sort of thing. Mar, being an ageist, a racist, a sexist, and everything in between. It's borderline disgusting.
He's a jackass.
In fact, it's subliminal. If anything, he is subliminal about that stuff. And you're right. The ageist stuff gets me from time to time as well. I know you don't have the clip, but I don't know if you saw Kathy Griffith come on. And, did you see that part of the panel?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
And by the way, how many African Americans does he actually have on his show? What's his ratio of black to white? What's his ratio? You know?
I've seen a black person on the show, so yeah. I don't think it's zero.
From time to time.
Yeah.
But then Kathy Griffith comes on, and she's backing it up. She's like, oh, yeah, it's racism all over the place. And you're right. It's just another thing for everyone to talk about.
And then she's making a pass
about.
At what's his name, that writer, the guy, the ex-government guy, I can't remember his name, that was on the show.
Richard Clark.
Richard Clark. And so she's making a pass at him, and it's all kind of, there's more kind
more,
of
more dick
stuff.
Jokes, more old dick jokes, yeah.
Yeah, old dick jokes, and you know, she's, and there, Ken Clark is an idiot, so he's like winking at her, and the whole thing was detestable, and she is really a dummy, and to point this out, I have one more clip we're going to play.
Okay.
I'm going to set this one up. This is actually one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
In the play. Let's just call it the play. It's all set up. Of course it is.
This should be the Mara joke falls flat. Okay, Mara is setting up a gag. And meanwhile, well, actually, no, this is a different one. Mara is going to be sarcastic. In response to a big debate about global warming. Oh, global warming.
Oh,
so Mara.
Yeah. Oh,
so yes. Kathy Griffin comes in asking a semi-serious question, and Mara throws a sarcastic remark at her that, you know, she says, who, and I'm going to give you some of it, but you'd have to listen to it to appreciate it. She asks, what's causing this? And then Mara sarcastically says, well, it's the Democrats, so they can ruin the economy, mocking what some right-wingers might say. She takes his comment seriously. It goes, this flies over her head. She's a comic, by the way. Flies over her head about a mile, and Mara tries to recover, but the whole thing falls apart. You can hear Mara go, ba, 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 ba. But the whole thing falls apart because everybody gets into the fray. It is one of the funniest little scenes I saw on the show.
People are more skeptical of global warming now than they were 10 years ago, especially young people. This is really scary. Young people in great numbers think it's a hoax.
Then who is behind the hoax? Who is behind the lie?
Democrats, to make sure our economy fails.
Then how do we change it?
No, but that's what the Republicans...
Is it corporate mentality? I mean, who is perpetuating this notion that global warming is false?
The people, well, I think
a small number of skeptics who get disproportionate coverage on the media.
And some industries that don't want to be regulated.
And you notice she tries to get it, but it's the Republic, and they all step all over him, and the joke is lost.
Yeah, the joke is lost. I think it was that same show that he said, you know, California is in flames, you know, because of global warming. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know nothing about climate, jackass. It is actually because of a cooler climate that has made California extremely dry. It is exactly the opposite. And that to me, that's like huge disinformation right there. Anyway, we will continue to watch the show because it irritates us. No, and that is a form of, come on, man. That's a form of, entertainment.
Here, play the Mara McCain P joke. It's a little ageist material here.
Where is it? Yeah. Okay.
on the bright side, on balance, actually, Obama's speech went over well. It was interrupted 47 times for applause and 3 times so John McCain could take a pee.
Yeah. Yeah, more ageism.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile,
and actually, by the way, as a follow-up of that, he does mumble that he's old, he's old.
Meanwhile, I was watching some other television. And let me preface this by saying that I have met LaToya Jackson several times. And although she is without a doubt deemed by most who have never met her as the wacky Jackson, like there could be such a thing. Like she's the crazy one. She lived in New York City for a long time. She used to come up to the radio station a lot. You know, she could never really get her career going that well. And she's actually a battered woman. She was in a horrible relationship. This guy was beating her up. And this actually, I have, of course have not spoken to her in a while. But she was on Big Brother in the UK on the Celebrity Big Brother, and I think the whole country at that point. Said, wow, you know, she's actually pretty freaking normal and she's very nice and she's very proper and very correct and she takes care of herself and she wants to eat properly. But when you speak with this woman, and I've met her like 4 or 5 times, and everyone always laughs at me when I say, hey, you know what? She's actually like kind of freaking normal. So she's on The View. She, of course, backs up, what I said from day one. About her brother's death. And I just want you to listen to a little bit of this.
Yes, I felt that it was homicide. He had been murdered. Yes, absolutely.
And when I asked about the doctors of the people who were aiding him and mentioned Dr. Conrad Murray, you said something went wrong, yeah?
Yes.
Has there been any reaction from him or from anyone else?
No, actually, I have not heard from Dr. Conrad Murray. Neither has anyone in my family heard from him yet either. But, of course, I've heard from other people regarding the interview. And
so
everyone
here comes the smart question from
it was great. We did
Joy.
Thank you. But
do you think it was deliberate? Yeah.
You know,
or accidental?
I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to fast forward to the end of the interview, and she's going to tell you why she believes he was killed, and then I'm going to deconstruct that.
You said there's so many things mm-hmm. circling this mm-hmm. thing, and you're absolutely right about that. That yeah. will be... Who knows? Perhaps he was just the fall guy, but this happened. This took place. It did not have to happen, yet it did. And you must understand that Michael continuously told me, LaToya... If I die, I'm going to be killed. They're going to kill me over my catalog, over my publishing. And he was afraid of that.
Okay. Over his catalog, over his publishing. What just happened last week in San Francisco, John? What was one of the main entertainment events of the year?
Acorn.
No. The Beatles catalog was released.
Yeah.
And this is a huge deal. Who owns a majority of the Beatles catalog, John?
Michael Jackson.
Thank you. So if you don't think that there are people who will off you for a dime bag, if you don't think that there are scumbags, and I'm looking at you, entertainment industry, who won't off a guy like Michael Jackson to finally get the Beatles music released in digital form and in Rock Band, which could be hundreds of millions of dollars for an industry that is in dire straits, then you're nuts. Then you are absolutely nuts. And by the way, let's just put together a nice little documentary. We're going to have a movie out in 2 weeks. You know, his music has been selling like crazy. He's like Elvis. He's worth more dead than he was alive.
Yep.
Less hassle. And if you think that isn't possible.
Less hassle. And there's insurance.
Oh, and all the concerts were insured. Look into AEG, which was the concert promoter. They were completely insured up to the hilt. So, good on you, LaToya. Good on you.
Yeah, well, she's probably going to get beat up after the show. So
that's not even funny.
I know it's not. That's the point.
That's not nice.
So, all right, let's see what else we got here. I do have to do my kudos. We should reiterate, you know, people who listen to the show know that we actually pick up on trends a little before the mainstream or Fox or anybody else because we don't do a lot of stories, but the ones we do, we kind of do thoughtfully. And we also seem to see these things happening. You were on, CNN, when was it?
MSNBC.
You were on MSNBC, and you said it was a homicide.
Yeah.
Or suspected it should be looked into as a homicide, and they threw you off the air.
They never called me back. They never emailed me. I think I even sent the producer an email saying, hey, by the way, you know, now that this is, and this was a couple of weeks later, I said, you know, by the way, I was the first one who said this on the air. No reply.
Yeah, and you were. But you're not going to get any credit for it except on our little show, which, you know, needs public support.
Oh, it's a little too early to go into the begging for money.
You think? It's a, on my timer, we've been on an hour.
No, well, so that's a little early. No, I've got my timers. I still got plenty of white left on the blue line.
Well, okay.
I'm not quite ready for it. I appreciate it, though, because I still wanted to talk about the massive atmospheric test the Navy is about to conduct or could be conducting as we speak, as the... NASA is shooting off rockets to create artificial clouds in the outermost layers of the Earth's atmosphere. It's called the CARE Project, Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. And they're literally creating a cloud of artificial dust over the Earth.
Why would they want to do this? This is what happens when a volcano goes off and kills everybody on the, in the world.
And it's aluminum oxide dust particles that they'll be spreading, and I, well, of course, this is, you know, this is like, well, maybe we can stop global warming.
This can't be about that.
Okay, you think so? All the links.
Okay, let me tell you this. I was at an event, and there was a guy from NASA, even though nobody from NASA seems to know who he was, who went off with this half-baked theory about putting up all these crazy satellites that would then open up these huge panels and block the sun. It's not like Montgomery Burns in a Simpson episode.
That's funny.
And he's going to block the sun. And there's a bunch of people typically in the audience nodding their heads in agreement.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good.
Good idea. I'm thinking this guy is criminally insane. He should be taken out now.
Well, it gets worse. Friday, NASA will launch a spectacular mission to bomb the moon. This is not science fiction.
It's about time they got to bomb the moon so they could bomb the spot where we didn't land.
The L-Cross mission will blast off from Cape Canaveral, Florida, carrying a missile that will blast a hole in the lunar surface at twice the speed of a bullet. And
how fast does a bullet go?
I don't know.
The bullet goes about Mach 1.5, I think, maybe.
So, and this is another one of the... So, space scientists want to see if any water, ice, or vapor is revealed in the clouds of the debris. You know what? It's just not a good idea to be shooting at the moon. It just doesn't... You know the old saying, shoot the moon? Shoot for the moon, son. Well, they're doing it. But this creating clouds, this is all part of geoengineering, and we haven't actually talked about this, but there's a lot of these kooky things, like the, expand the panels. There's also, there's been talk of trying to push the Earth, and move our orbit a little bit, and it's like, this is dangerous and crazy thinking. This is not a good idea. But spewing aluminium oxide into the atmosphere, or even if it's above the atmosphere, it just doesn't seem like a good idea. They'll be tracking the dust cloud for days or even months to study its behavior.
Well, maybe years of this thing. How's it going to come down? It's not going to rain. There's no rain that's going to take it out. How's it going to dissipate?
Let me see what they say. The U.S. Navy, NASA, and the U.S. Defense Department, ooh, what are they doing in this? Have made a decision to conduct one or more atmospheric tests in order to create an aluminium oxide dust cloud without the permission and, for the most part, the knowledge of the citizens of the United States. Eventually, they say, the oxide particles will return to Earth, polluting the air, water, and soil. But they don't say
that. How are they going to return to Earth?
I don't know. Well, let's see how high up it's going. We got to find out. Well, if it's kind of like, you know, in the in that layer where the Concorde used to fly, I guess eventually it will come down to Earth. I don't like it.
No, I don't like this sort of experimentation with the. I think the United Nations should crack. Where are they in these pictures?
Oh well,
this is an international situation. In other words, people in France. Oh, by the way, and I want to thank the people from around the world who gave us money. But the people around the world, why should this aluminum cloud be floating over their country?
Yeah, thanks,
I mean, it's
NASA.
Obviously something. It's really, I think there's a treaty violation here. You can't just throw crap in the air like that, you know, unnaturally, and then just because you think it's a fun experiment.
It's just, well, they're speaking of experiments, John, I have to thank you profusely for reigniting my vigor and interest in orgone.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a backyard I could use? Because I got a cloud buster I'm putting together, baby.
You can put it off. You can put it. Well,
can
we'll
I do that?
Talk
can
later.
I would like to take some of the no agenda
put up
money.
A cloud buster. It's quite possible that the government will come over and take us both away. But
cool.
Yeah, build a cloud buster. Cool. We'll talk about it later.
I'd love to. I mean, I am now a member of the closed Yahoo Cloudbuster group, and oh, I mean, there's all.
Oh, you got into the closed Yahoo group?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. There's a lot of interesting
stuff. Did somebody write you and invite you in? How did that happen?
Well, you had to sign up, and you have to. Then there's a little exchange about what do you want to get out of the group? What are you going to contribute? And I just kept it really simple, like, hey man, I just want to build a cloudbuster. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
Okay, you're in. I guess you don't have real rich.
Approved.
It's not much of a secret society.
No, that's it. Listen to No Agenda. No, they're like, all right, yeah, we need him. We really need this dude. I also found another fantastic site, John, which...
Oh, by the way, you can't do a Cloudbuster in my backyard because you need a body of water.
The Cloudbuster that I have the plans for, it's small. You don't need a huge body of water. They've improved the technology.
A cup of buttermilk.
Please go to apps.gov, John. This will really irk you. This is another fine initiative from our friend Vivek Kundra. The federal.
Vivek. Oh, go ahead.
The Federal Cloud Computing Services, apps.gov. Please have a look. You will love it. And I'll play a bit of the video.
Computers and software are now a part of everyday life. We use email, set up websites, and some of us run our own businesses. We are able to use these services without having to host our own massive IT infrastructure, hiring tons of staff to operate it, spending a lot of money, and getting mired in lengthy and complicated procurement processes. If you can do this easily, why can't the government?
So this is just a centralization of power, which is very, very dangerous. I do not think we want all of our government using cloud computing in the cloud. This just doesn't sound like a good idea. It really doesn't. Snazzy site, though.
Well, I don't get it. How do you get there? It's aps.gov. I don't get that.
Two Ps.
Oh.
Apps.gov. I'd love that typing. You have the world's oldest keyboard. Clunk, 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 clunk.
It's actually a typewriter. So there is a... have you ever seen the movie Brazil? That's the kind of computers I use.
No, I have not.
So what is cloud computing? Want to learn more? Apps.gov, little thing here. So this is... how many millions of dollars I wanted this site cost?
I mean, it's from GSA. Those guys, you know, there's so much going on with GSA.
Cloud IT service. Well, this is going to be hacked. Somebody brought up a really good, sent me a real good email. I should should publish it and then send a link out discussing the kinds of requirements, because there's all these security things based on, you know, letting people's social security numbers on the internet and putting your driver's license on the internet, putting your, you know, all these, your tax forms, you know, which are all possibly could be put on, you know, all your taxes are electronic now. So all your tax information could be on the internet, could be in the cloud. And there's no way of really securing it. And so there's going to be a fiasco like happened in the state of Virginia. where Kundra and his buddy were, yeah. that, you know, where the guy basically took all the medical records and then started to extort money from the government because he had all this stuff and he was going to release it to hackers. I mean, the whole thing is asking for trouble. This is the problem is nobody speaks up about this. Some guy who sent me this note, who's a government guy, says he thought that the speech that he heard at this government conference, he said Kundra didn't sound like he knew anything. I don't think he does. It's just going to cause a problem somewhere down the road. Someone's going to take the blame, and it's Obama's fault.
Well, I must disagree, though. There are some people who speak up about it, John, and that is us. That is what we do.
So this is our segue?
This is it. We speak about it. Hey, John.
Turn down your speakers!
We talk about it. We do lots of research. And it's a two-way street, by the way. Our listeners are our producers, and we're proud of it. This came through one of our producers said, you won't believe this. John won't believe this. And I'm sure you'll probably take this. This will spin into an article on MarketWatch, I'm sure, because you hate cloud computing so much. But all of these things, you know, all the news that is being covered up by Kanye and Acorn video, which is you're being deluged with, all the other news, like, you know, important stuff like stilettos at work. We are bringing that to you.
And by the way, I want to mention, I do want to want you to play one more short clip while we're doing this pitch, because another really important real news story was the one about the reverse peephole last week with, what's her name, the Erica?
Erin Andrews.
Erin Andrews. ESPN. Play the Seinfeld peepholes clip. That because I, as I mentioned, that it was the reverse. This is where the idea came from.
Newman and I are reversing the peepholes on our door so you can see in.
Why?
To prevent an ambush.
Now I can peek in to see if anyone is waiting to jack me with a sock full of pennies.
But then anyone can just look in and see you.
Our policy is we're comfortable with our bodies. You know, if somebody wants to help themselves to an eyeful, well, we say enjoy the show.
What does that have to do with money?
I don't know.
How about that PBS thing? Do we have to do any of that?
No. We're going to save that. Okay. Let's go back to the money thing. The fact of the matter is we are on top of this stuff,
yeah.
And which is the only point I was making.
We pick up old Seinfeld clips for you. I mean, come on. Isn't that worth a buck?
Well, somebody came up with one of the guys, and let me go through the names of people who gave this last week so we can get that out of the way.
How did we do? Yeah. Did you feel we did okay?
I think we're now kind of stable. I think we did pretty good because we had a couple big contributions. Sherelle Campaign in Bryson City, North Carolina gave us 50. Then Andrew Valencia, and I think we should every time we do these from now, I'm going to call out one guy who is the top donor, and I'm going to come up with a premium, like an old Silicon Spin mug. I have a bunch of them. They're very collectible.
Okay.
Anyway, Andrew gave us, and you have to come up with a reason for this number, $314.16, which is a lot. And he's in San Mateo, and I want to thank him.
$314.16?
Yeah.
Gosh, I have no idea.
Well, maybe he'll tell us. No, if anybody has an idea. Noah Bratzel. St. Paul, Minnesota, one of the really great cities of the United States, by the way, 50.
Thank you.
David Ernie from Mesa, Arizona, 51. Richard Dominelli, 7288, which is obviously significant in some ways, in Clifton Park, New York, part of the of the Dominelli clan.
I really wish people would tell us.
You know, there's a little place to write a note when you're contributing on PayPal. It says, you know, and you can actually type something in and tell us that you know what you're doing with the gag. I'll see it, but Adam won't, and so we can, you know, make his life
cool.
Miserable.
Cool. Thanks.
John Trainer, $50 in Wilmington, Delaware. Liam Hemming, 75, and I think he's given to us before because he's in Buckinghamshire.
Ah, Buckinghamshire. Thank you.
Yeah.
That must have cost him only £5.
The 75, yeah, it's about £5, you know, which is a lot, you know, for us. James Murray, $71, Houston. Justin Fiore, $50, Atlanta. Michael Siegenthaler, or Siegenthaler, depending on how you want to pronounce it, $50 from, you'd think, Germany, but no, he's in San Bernardino, which, by the way, out here in California, we call San Berdu. Intersolve Corporation with a V, Intersolve Corporation, gave us $50.05. They're in Wildwood, Missouri. Jens, or this is in Amsterdam. So is it J-E-N-S? Is it pronounced Jens? Jens?
Jens. Jens.
Jens. Mm-hmm. Jens.
Jens.
Jens Hollander gave us $51, which I guess was a pound, or I guess 2 euros.
Euro.
2 euros. Brendan, this is a gag. I wonder how long we can go with that gag before people get sick of it. The Canadians made a career out of that gag, by the way. Brendan Matheson, $230, and I want to talk about him afterwards because he came up with an interesting concept. He gave us $230, and he is in Bangkok, Thailand.
Right on.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yes,
Andrew Hesse. In Orebro, Sweden, gave us $100, which is 5 euros. Lawrence Donovan, $50 out of Chicago. And by the way, you know, to go back to the Swedish guy, you know, I'm in Sweden. I love Sweden, by the way. I think it's a really great place. I'm driving around and I've noticed it on the freeways that everybody is driving station wagons.
Volvos, no doubt.
Volvos and BMWs, too. There's some of those and a lot of Saabs, but they're all station. Everybody's got a station wagon. So I'm asking him, why does everybody have a station wagon? Well, apparently the Swedes, according to my contact there, which was with the government, says they love, the Swedes just love do-it-yourself projects, and so they're always going in and out of these Home Depot places.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because I had an idea for San Francisco. When it comes to transportation, you know, the city is really pushing towards bicycles, and I know that you hate the bicycles, but there's this particular type of bike, which is, I think, really a Dutch invention. It's called the buckfiets. And I've already coined the phrase now, the SUB instead of SUV. And if you take a look at what these bikes look like, John, don't you think that this would be perfect for San Francisco? I just sent you the link on Skype. So it's a bicycle with a kind of a box on the front and you, bike behind it.
I have seen a couple of these things
in San Francisco.
I may have seen one in Berkeley. I know I've seen them in Holland.
Yeah. Well, in Holland, they're off the hook. And although I think they're not very appropriate for the canals because they're a little wide and they can damage stuff, I think if you had the appropriate gear settings on it, a lot, these things have become sophisticated over the years. You know, we have places to park scooters. It would be perfect to park one of these in a scooter bay. You know, it's a bike, so it's healthy. The city is making bike paths, but you can throw, like, you know, your shit in there, your books in there, your computer, your kids. I mean, I don't know. I have a feeling this just I'm going to get one and bring it over and see how people respond on the street.
Oh, if you're lucky, you don't get shot.
Thanks.
The stupidest thing I've ever seen. Okay.
Now that's an endorsement. Right on the side, John C. Dvorak says, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It is the stupidest thing ever. And now it's dangerous.
Now it's guaranteed to be a hit.
Okay. Let me finish off our little list here. We have Andrew Tong, gave us $89.64, and he's in Hong Kong. One of my favorite towns, although it's really expensive nowadays. I don't go there anymore.
Thank you, though, Andrew.
And finally, Malcolm Blair, Parts Unknown, gave us 50. So anyway, wow, I was mentioning Brendan in Bangkok was going on about, well, you know, he went back and listened to all the shows, and he felt that he should pay a bit. He kind of calculated it, I guess, from some perspective. Obviously, miscalculated. Said the show is worth a dollar. A show.
And how much did he donate? So he should have donated 131.
He donated 230.
Oh.
And so
do we owe him 100?
Well, that's right. That reminds you of a joke. But anyway, I think he said he wanted to add an extra 100 because of just... Because he felt like he should. And I think other people out there, you know, feel obligated to do this. But he made the calculations, you know, your $5 a month thing, which hasn't really caught on, but we're getting about two or three or four, you know, people to subscribe at $5 a month is about, he says, 50 cents a show. I'm thinking, well, no, he's off there too. It's not. It's about, it's less, I mean, it's about a buck a show, he thought, but it turns out to be around 50 cents. I was thinking if people would think of the following when they want to give us 50 cents for a show. And I don't mean to send us a PayPal thing for 50 cents as a joke, because we're not going to get anything. But, you know, save it up or do whatever you want to do and give us, you know, 50 cents times X, you know, 3 months from now. Think of it this way. If you go into San Francisco right now, you're paying 25 cents. It's over by the Mevio offices. It's 25 cents to park for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it is in San Francisco, which is a complete scam, I might add. So if to park for like an hour, you got to put so much money in the meter that the thing will fill up the little bin for coins. And so it's like, you know, 50, you know, it's a quarter for 5 minutes. You want to be 10 minutes. It's like 50 cents. So that 10 minutes is 50 cents just to park. I mean, if you, we're giving you an hour and a half and we're asking for essentially 50 cents in so far as a donation is concerned on that $5 a month thing. That's really reasonable, it seems to me. We're giving people a lot of entertainment value for very little money.
And we're not taking ads. We have no sponsors. We have no ads because we know that would ruin the show. We don't want to break for a commercial. And of course, we, you know, then we have all kinds of other interests and then we got it. And it's the same thing, except instead of begging you for money, we're begging you to go buy some friggin' product or some service. So, you know, we're keeping it kind of in the family here. And a lot of you donate to public radio or public television.
And by the way, while you're on the topic of donating to public radio, I want you to play NPR Call It Whatever You Want clip.
Oh.
This is the woman who is the CEO of NPR. And
I have a PBS.
No, you keep looking. It's right underneath the Malkin rant.
Oh, got it. Here it comes.
Okay, moving on to money. How are NPR's corporate underwriting revenues holding up in the recession?
Whoa! What is this?
This is at the National Press Club, and it's the CEO of NPR. Let me get her name. It's
let me cut to the chase. So when the next time you hear NPR or you see something on PBS and you see this is brought to you by the Archer Daniels Midland Corporation, go see The Informant, which comes out tomorrow. This is starring Matt Damon. I read the book. It's a hilarious book, but frightening and sad at the same time. It's America's supermarket, as they bill themselves. Go look at this corrupt bullshit organization who have screwed you. Every single person listening to this program has been screwed by ADM because they were in the business of price fixing on everything. Every single product that is a part of drinks, a part of cereals, you name it, they price fix it, which means a real difference to your money, to subsidies for farmers. They have been screwing you, and they are under, quote, underwriting, which is no difference from sponsoring, but underwriting these programs.
And so this is Vivian Schiller, the CEO of NPR, answering that question about where's your money coming from.
Okay, let's take it from the top.
Move it on to money. How are NPR's corporate underwriting revenues holding up in the recession? And what about foundation grants?
Two different stories. Underwriting is down. It's down for everybody.
It's down for everybody. Oh, you mean advertising is down for everybody? Because it's advertising.
She blows it herself.
It's advertising.
Underwriting is down. It's down for everybody. I mean, this is the area that is most down for us. Is in sponsorship, underwriting, advertising. Call it whatever you want.
Oh my
Play
God.
That little end again. You stepped all over
oh
it.
Oh my God.
Underwriting is down. It's down for everybody. I mean, this is the area that is most down for us. Is in sponsorship, underwriting, advertising. Call it whatever you want.
Oh my God.
Call it whatever you want.
You know what? I'm giving this one a standard spot on my board here. We gotta play this from time to time. So that is your public radio who are completely influenced because that's the way it works. When you have, look, at least at Mevio, when we do a show with a Honda, it's about the Honda. It's about the scooter. You know, we're not messing around here. Ha ha ha. You like the show? It's about the damn Honda. It's not unclear. Okay.
And it's very unclear on this underwriting thing that there's any influence. I mean, they'll say there's not, but come on.
Of course there's influence. And go see this movie. Okay. You know what? Don't donate. Go see the, don't donate yet. Go see this movie. Spend your, spend $20 without eating any popcorn. Watch this movie. And then you are going to hate yourself for what you have allowed to happen to you through Archer Daniels Midland Corporation. They bought politicians. They were in the business of price fixing, in corporate espionage. But they have, every single person listening to this has shelled out more money for products because of their illegal practices.
Well, the,
and they sponsor. And not only sponsored, you don't think they have some, when you see this movie, you'll understand what I'm talking about, or when you read the book. And then you will immediately want to donate lots of money. By the way, we're running short on time.
Yeah, but let's go and plug at least where they can donate to us, which is noagendashow.com. Please go there and click on one of the buttons. You'll see them. Or go to Dvorak.org/NA. And by the way, we could use a couple more knights or people that want to get on the knight bandwagon. We've got some surprises for those people. We got two more people that joined wants to go to the dinner. Now we're up to four. So I'm going to have to give it another week.
But we have to fill up 10. Otherwise, we can't do it, John.
Yeah, right. But we'll give them one more, another, not till Sunday, but till next Thursday, and then we can kill it.
Suck to give all that money back.
Well, yeah, it does suck to give the money back. But the one good thing is with the PayPal system, even though a lot of people dislike it, if you give it back within 60 days, you don't.
There's no VIG.
Okay. Yes, there's no VIG. Noagendashow.com or Dvorak.org/NA. We'll call out the, and I think I'm also going to call out the person like Andrew Valencia of San Mateo. San Mateo County, as the top donor, and maybe we'll do something special for these guys who actually all of a sudden just step up and throw a good deal of money at us.
We really appreciate it.
And we want to thank everybody who's even doing the $2. And some people send 15, and there's still the $49.95 people that don't want to be mentioned. Right. There's at least three of those people that keep kind of donating $49 every so often.
And by the way, if you're going to send a really long email about why you're not donating, could you just put that at the top so I don't have to read through all your bullshit? I would really appreciate that.
Those are the Bill Maher fans.
Yeah. Quick trip around the horn. swine flu from Bloomberg. Swine flu shots to start in 3 weeks as U.S. cases spread.
While you're on the swine flu, let me mention one thing.
I got like five stories. I got to run through them, man. We're out of time.
But let me just ask you a question. Why is the seasonal flu vaccine out? Or it was out last week. This is the earliest it's ever been out. What's the deal?
Because it's the same shit. It's the same stuff, and you can get it at Walgreens. It's the same stuff. In the United Kingdom, the general practitioners have finally come to an agreement. They will be paid £5.25 per jab they hand out to folks for swine flu. Of course, you'll receive it for free, but they will be making money on it. In Italy, skip that one. Here it is. Novartis will be selling their swine flu on the basis of a trial which they deem successful. 100 people they tested. 100, and it's a success. So let's rock and roll and use it.
They didn't drop dead on the spot.
No, and a little known fact, French nurses are rejecting the swine flu vaccination over safety concerns, which of course you won't hear anywhere, but good on you for the Frenchies.
And then, by the way, they're not the only ones. There's groups all over the world, medical practitioners that are refusing to take the shot.
And then two quick notes. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Staying in France for a moment. At France Telecom, there's something very weird happening. In the past 18 months, there have been 23 suicides by employees. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but a lot of it seems to have to do with the union and how much money they can or can't make, and people are unhappy. At least they're leaving some work-related messaging in their suicide notes. 23 in the past 18 months. And in Italy, it was bound to happen. Finally, the skirt is being lifted. And there's a ton of people coming out about Catholic priests abusing young boys. And
wait a minute, I thought it was only in America where that kind of thing happened.
Oh no. Associated Press story, which I don't want to read it to you. It's so disgusting. But it's in the show notes at noagendashow.com, which, by the way, takes a lot of time to compile as well. And I think the show notes, the links, are probably just as good as our show.
I agree.
There's a lot of good links in there. And for people who say, oh, man, these guys are full of shit, just send them to the links. They're going to say that Associated Press is no good, that Reuters is no good, that Bloomberg is no good, the Wall Street Journal is no good. And we collect it all for you. We're a collection service.
And collection and actually recycling.
and we're proud of it, damn it. All right. Did you just Skype me?
No. It's one of your pals. And by the way, Eric up in Port Angeles says they got a lot of water up there if you want to put the cloud buster up there.
I think it'd be more fun to put it in your San Francisco pad.
Yeah.
It'll be cool, man.
There's not enough water. Don't be a pussy. It suck all the energy, life energy out of you once you flip the switch.
Well, that's why I'm going to put it in your backyard, because nothing can happen. I mean, how much worse can it get?
Yeah, well, you have a point.
All right, everybody, coming to you from Gitmo Nation East. Now, that would be in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. On my way back west, if they'll let me into the country, I will be here again on Sunday with you. My name is Adam Curry.
And hopefully they won't let him back in, but you never know. The fog is lifting here in northern Silicon Valley. I expect it to be another nice warm day with the highs apparently over the weekend coming in at the 90s. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Thanks for your weather report, John. It's always highly appreciated when we listen to the show 3 days later. We'll talk to you again on Sunday, right here on No Agenda.